Now, would you turn with me, please, this morning to that portion of God's word that we read, the book of Nehemiah and Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. And we might read again the words of verse 18, seeking the help of the Lord. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. We had there brought before us in Nehemiah chapter 2, I suppose one of the great summaries of the situation and the cause of the Lord back in Judah. The situation was low. We know that the temple of the Lord after the captivity had been lying in ruins. The people had been carried away into Babylon. They were down there for all of those years. And yet in the midst of that place where day after day and week after week they were receiving the philosophy and the indoctrination of the world of that time, nevertheless, there were those and their countenance had fallen. And their countenance had fallen because they remembered the cause of the Lord. And they remembered the apparent weakness of that cause, even in these days. Now, when we come here to Nehemiah, we know that it is part of a series of books that give us the history of that time. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, they speak about the return from Babylon and the rebuilding of the temple of the Lord and the reestablishment of worship in that temple. Now, we know it wasn't going to be easy. We know that there were, at three different stages, people returned back. And it was a small portion of those that returned back that had been led into captivity in the first place. Something like 46 or 47,000 people out of those three returns went back to Judah. The cause was low. And even when they went back, they were engaged in making for themselves their farms and their houses and their own ease. And still, the temple of the Lord lay desolate. It's a challenge to us, even in these days, as we see the weakening of the Lord's cause here amongst us, in these islands, but in this land, that we heed the word of the Lord and that we see the word of the Lord as a challenge to us. Now, in this second chapter, we see it moving broadly in three areas, I would suggest. You see a trembling that takes place in verses 9 and 10. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. And we know that there is opposition. We know that there was opposition to Nehemiah and what he was doing, as there will be opposition to the cause of Christ in these days. Let us expect it. Let us not be surprised by it. Rather, let us be surprised if there is no opposition when we go forward with the work, because there is something wrong if the world does not oppose him. So there was here a trembling as they came, and yet there was an obedience. And then there was an investigation and an investigating, and you see that running down from verses 11 on down, and there was a looking at the whole situation. But then it is in this part, from verses 17 down to the end, that there is the challenge that comes. This challenge that comes. And it comes in Nehemiah's day. It came in the days of the prophets right up until that junction when there was that 400 years that the Lord had withheld his word until he spoke finally in those last days, even by his son. Nehemiah, the name means the Lord has comforted. And friends, that should be while we meet the challenge in these days. Let us take comfort from the Lord has comforted us, because he is the one that when we go forward and forth in his strength, he will be with us. I want us to think of three things today. The first thing is a commitment. A commitment. The second thing is a covenant. And the third thing is, as our time allows, a concern. A commitment, covenant, a concern. A commitment. You notice what we have there. And they said, let us rise up. Let us rise up. Here Nehemiah comes and he sees the situation. The people see the situation of the lowness of the cause. And instead of them moving away, not wishing to help to strengthen the breaches in the wall to build a temple, no, they say with a commitment, let us rise up. See, this was a challenge, and it was a new challenge. It was a new challenge that had come to them, because they had over these years not been faced with the truth. And so as this challenge came, it quickened to their very being. Now, there's always a time of opportunity. There is always a challenge that comes. There is always a breach in the wall. There is always a weakness of the Lord's cause, this side of eternity. That will be so. But there will be a call that comes. And that call that comes is to strengthen the things that remain. Friends, that's what I wish us to grasp this morning. Strengthen the things that remain. Who is sufficient for these things? We all ask that question. Ministers ask that question. Elders ask that question. Deacons ask that question. Deacons about to be admitted to office ask that question. Who is sufficient for these things? Well, if we dealt based upon our feeling of insufficiency, no one would build the walls. No one would put his hand to the work. There was a challenge here, and this challenge came for a new commitment, a recommitment to the things of the Lord. And this was a new challenge, but you'll notice, and also it was a commitment to building. You see, Nehemiah had to come and he had to build a wall about the city. Not just the temple itself, but a wall about the city. And when he explained the situation of how the walls had crumbled down, there was this coming together of a new commitment. When we were looking here some weeks ago, preaching in preparation for a day like this when there would be an election of deacons, you will remember how we looked at it. We said that there was a weight that was placed upon the spiritual office to be engaged in temporal things. And that was not a good thing. And you will remember in Acts chapter 6, there was the establishment of the diaconate. There were these men that were compelled and set apart to take the weight of the spiritual office, that they were going to care for the temporal things of the kingdom, for the widows and so on. You see, there was a breach. There was a breach there in that setup at the very beginning, because there was a distraction away from the spiritual office. Those deacons said, "Let us build. Let us build." You notice here that they do not come and they do not say to Nehemiah, "Well, we are content with the way it is. We're content. We haven't had an attack over these years, so the walls are okay. They're strong enough." No, they didn't come and they didn't say this. They didn't come, as we read in Ezra chapter 4, and said, "Oh, we have tried this before." They didn't come and do that. No, they came with this desire to build a wall. Now, there was a purpose for the wall. The purpose of the wall was a wall of separation. It was saying, we are separated from the things of the enemies round about us. We don't wish their ungodliness. We don't wish their forcing of a new philosophy upon us. We are now guarding the kingdom. We're going to build up the walls of the city, a separation. And of course, isn't that what we would say that the church is? The danger is that we allow the things of the nations to come in and to rob us of our Christian walk, to be distracted by those things. And so we build those walls. Now, there are many ways that the walls are built. We're thinking in one aspect today of the nature of the kingdom here below and building those temporal walls and strengthening the things that remain. We're thinking of that. But you know, there is the necessity and the need to strengthen that wall around about us. Our holiness in life. Our love for the Lord. The instruction in our families. The edification one of another. The communion that we have with one another, with fellowship and iron sharpened iron, we know those things. But we are there to strengthen those things, building as the Lord would build us up in our most holy faith. See, these walls were going to be a national identification as well. Chapter 4 and verse 6. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And you see, they came together. And when you come together and you're part of that building, you feel part of that fellowship and that bond. There is something that strengthens you in your very identity itself. Yes, there was a building of the wall. But there was a commitment to a new spirituality as well. See, when Nehemiah goes back down, Nehemiah is the leader. But you see, he had Ezra as the priest. One was building the wall, And the other one was building the pulpit. And friends, we pray for a day that there will be a building of the wall here, but there will be a building of the pulpit as well. And that as some have come today to help to build that wall, that in the fullness of time, there will be one who will be separated, who will come and build the pulpit here in this place. This is a commitment here to a new spirituality. And we notice something that I believe that is significant, and we have this brought out before us in chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we read in verses 2 and 3, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. The law of God was read for 4 hours a day, and the people came to hear the reading of the Lord, the word of the Lord for 4 hours. The people attended. Now, this was in a day when there was a hierarchy of Sabbath services that were held. You had prayer meetings and thanksgiving services. You had all of those things. But you see, there was part of that spiritual commitment. There was no point in building the physical walls if the spiritual walls of the heart and of the soul were not strengthened and built. And so there was this coming together. And oh, how important it is that the means of grace are. When we come and we hear the word of life that is broken down to us, to encourage us to continue in the work of the Lord and the things of the Lord. There was a commitment to building. There was a commitment to a new spirituality. There was a commitment to teaching and to learning. The people, you see, understood the scriptures. We read from chapter 8, well, chapter 8 and verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The importance of the study of the word of the Lord. There is a building. There is a building that is temporal and a building that is physical. And then there is a building that is spiritual. Friends, this morning I challenge you. Are you engaged in that building? Are you engaged in that spiritual building? We know that there will be those and they are set aside onto the more physical building. But they too themselves must be engaged in the spiritual building. But this is a building that we are to be engaged in. So there was a commitment. But then secondly, there was a covenant. This was the bond of commitment that they had to the Lord. It was a vow, it was an oath unto him. It's just like a marriage vow. It's not to be made in order to be broken. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. It was a covenant before the Lord. What is a covenant? Well, we have something of that brought in Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, He shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. When we come to the Lord and we covenant before him, we are binding ourselves unto him. Well, why was it a binding unto the Lord? Why was it a covenant unto the Lord? Well, you see, what they were doing was they were setting priorities. They were establishing priorities. And when you set goals, you then establish priorities for life. And that's exactly what they were doing. Now, there are times when we perhaps do that in our own lives. And you know that many, perhaps at the beginning of a year, they will make priorities and they will make goals and they will make resolutions. And by the third or the fourth day into the new year, those things are broken and they are forgotten about. But not so here with those who come unto the Lord. Nehemiah knew that when he would go back and attempt to build those walls, he couldn't do it on his own. It was impossible. And so he called for help. And that is necessary in the kingdom here below, that there is a setting apart and a calling for help in these regards. And when he comes here and he presents the case, the people respond. Nehemiah was not coming now, and he was not cajoling. He was not pressurizing. But you see, there was a response. They recognize the situation and they make this covenant with the Lord. And they're saying, what can I do? What can I do? The setting of goals and the setting of priorities, it also means that changes will be made. The people could no longer drift as they had been over the 25 years that the temple had still remained desolate, even though they had gone back to Judah. Imagine that. Going back to Judah to build the temple of the Lord, and 25 years had gone past. Nobody got out a brush. Nobody got out a stone to lay upon the wall. They were building their own houses. We're told they're sealed houses. Oh, you could go in there and there was luxury. But the house of the Lord was lying desolate. Wasn't that a terrible indictment upon the people? They had been brought down to Babylon because of their sin. They had returned and still they were forgetting the Lord. Now we know that there were many excuses when that house finally went up and when that house was finally built. There were those and they came and they poured cold water, as it were, upon it. Oh, this is not like Solomon's temple. The lesser glory, the Lord's house in the latter days. You know why it wasn't like Solomon's building? Because they would have been worshipping that building. And so that was taken away. There was a plainness that came in to the Lord's house in the latter days because it was preparing the people to wait for the coming Messiah. We see low things in these days. Friends, that should remind us to be waiting for the coming of the Lord. Coming of the Lord. Second, the other thing in this is that there is a covenant And as it was a commitment that a goal itself is better than a dream. A goal itself is better than a dream. How easy it is for us to drift along. There's Martin Luther who said that faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Friends, that is where we rest this morning. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. But thirdly, there was a concern. A concern. A commitment, a covenant, a concern. Now, this concern that they had was a twofold concern. And these are not mutually exclusive. There was a concern about home, and there was a concern about God's house. A concern about home. The people had this concern. You see, that wall was built for separation. It was built for separation. They were concerned about their home. They were concerned about those nations around about who wished to extinguish the people of the Lord. And so when there was the building of that wall, there was the building of a structure that was aimed at the protection of the family and of the nations. Because those nations represented immorality. Those nations represented idolatry. If there was one thing that they had now been cognizant of, and indeed something that the Jew, after he had gone down into Babylon, into captivity, never committed again, and that was idolatry. They had learned the lesson. And so there was these fortifications that went up. And in many ways, there was that separation, even in the outward things of home, that separation from sin. And how important it is, friends, to rule our houses well, to take all that is necessary and meaningful in the prosecution of our calling as heads of homes, to rule our houses well. But there was a second thing. It was a concern for God's house. And we see that coming out in chapter 10, in verse 39. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers. Where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers? And we will not forsake the house of our God. See, there's the very center of the family. There's the very center of the nation. In verse 35, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. Here was something that was going to change. The Lord was first now in their thoughts. They had this concern for the house of God. Not a concern, we might say, for Christ, the head of that church. Because they were looking to the Messiah. The first fruits, as they considered those things, the first fruits, that was their pointing forward in all of its types and shadows. As they would come in all of their ceremonies, and they would be reminded of something of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who was to come. They would look back to the promises, but they would look forward to the coming of the Messiah. They had a concern to walk in the ways of holiness and in the ways of the Lord. Now we know that not all that went down to Babylon returned, a small portion. And we know that there were some of those who were still down in that great empire. And I believe that they were used of the Lord down there. They didn't come back to Judah. And the Lord in his providence had a reason for that. We can read that in Esther. And yet the Lord had a purpose. We could see the very purpose that he has there in Esther, in preserving Esther, that there is not an extermination throughout all of those lands of the people of the Lord. Because you see, he remembered the Messiah that was to come. There was to be a walking in the ways of holiness. And there is a concern also, surely to bring this truth onto others. See, when those walls were built, the nations round about would ask the reason why. When they would see the house of the Lord being built, they would ask the reason why. You see, it was a reproach unto the Lord that his house was still desolate. And so the people had a concern for the things of the Lord, strengthening the things that remain, building the walls of Jerusalem. We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We remember it in its physical manifestation at this time, of course. But we are to remember Zion. We are to pray for the peace of Zion, the strengthening of Zion, the felicity that is to be found within Zion, the building of the walls. It's a daily task, the reading of the word, struggling with the Lord and wrestling with the Lord in prayer, engaged in the temporal things of the kingdom. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Friends, pray for the work of the kingdom. Pray for the office bearers of the church as they are engaged in the building of the walls. We look unto the Lord to be the one who would build the temple, for he is the one whose name is the branch. And we pray that there will be one who will strengthen the pulpit here in the days that lie ahead. May the Lord bless his word unto us. Let us pray. Our gracious and our eternal God, we draw before thee, looking unto thee as the one who builds the house of the Lord. We ask thee to continue in thy goodness and with thy grace to use us as thou wilt use us. And we pray, eternal one, that we would have that attitude, and that we would be those who would spend and be spent for the things of thyself. We pray that thou would accept of us, that thou would go before us, thou would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.